This podcast would not be possible without our amazing sponsors. Bruce, who we got?
Easy Way. Spending hours cleaning screens is a thing of the past. With Easy Way screen printing and screen cleaning chemicals, their innovative formulas are designed to work quickly and effectively, so you can spend less time cleaning and more time creating. Plus, Easy Way is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. They offer helpful resources and expert advice to help you succeed in screen printing. Steven, Multicraft?
Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft Screen Printing and Digital Supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. Mention the Printavo Pod, you'll receive an extra 10% off your first order. Dave and the Multicraft team, they've partnered up with PMI Tape. Every episode, they're giving out a free case of PMI Tape. In order to enter, you have to follow Dave on Instagram. That's Multicraft underscore daddy. And he'll pick one winner per week.
Pick one wimp per week to get PMI Tape. Supercolor, the world's best heat transfer. Supercolor is made for screen printers by screen printers. They truly understand the pressures and expectations of running a shop. And that's why they pride themselves on being super fast and super easy. And Super DTF. So order quantities used to be 10, now they're 1. And so, yeah, you'll be able to get your stuff in pretty darn quickly because they've got an awesome support team and turnaround time. Printavo 1.5, that gets you 15% off your order.
All right, Graphic Source, last but not least, if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should call Graphic Source. They offer industry-leading outsource options for truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. And when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 30 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. They are a staple at Campus Inc. And, you know, with the crazy busyness of March Madness, we even called in extra support. They put in more artists on our account to help us through a crazy time. Thanks so much, GraphX. We really appreciate you. 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order using the code PRINTAVOPOD24. All right.
Let's go.
All right, Justin Lawrence.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a big week. We got playoffs printing, and the Thunder have secured their number one in the Western Conference. So that's sick. Hey. And it's also 420. So the other business is gearing up for a big product release on the 19th. So we're just jamming.
Just cranking.
Cranking.
Last week you said you had an all hands team meeting and we rescheduled.
Yeah.
What was that about?
That was just bringing the team together and give them a heads up. Like, here's what the NBA playoffs look like. Here's what our configuration is going to look like. And then we put together like the production strategy. And so that was the introduction to the team and telling them about what it's going to look like and telling them that, I mean, the NBA finals goes until June 6th. So in the event that our guys go all the way, we just kind of have to be prepared to deliver all the shirts for every home game. And we told the team that might mean working on Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday night or whatever it means. And so they're all pretty fired up.
Is it easy to get the team rallied because it's like home field advantage? Like, this is your city, this is your sport. People get pumped about it.
Yeah. People get pretty fired up. And our team, you know, it happens at the right time. So we're coming right out of the slow season of screen printing world. Everyone's kind of hungry for work. And everyone's looking for overtime and we're looking for more work. And so thankfully it's at the right time. Now on the other side of it, it'll be a different story, but right now spirits are high.
I had you cold email Mark Cuban yesterday. He ghosted us both.
Right? Yeah.
We tried.
You
no
got
answer, right?
You saw it, right?
I saw it. It was a good pitch.
I was looking for it.
Did you see red receipts? Did you read it?
I emailed from mail on my iPhone. So I,
if you're going to email a billionaire, you got to add red receipts. Anyways.
What was it about?
Steven wanted me to heckle Cuban a little bit. and he was going to be at the game. He's like, tell him we're buddies and see if you get some VIP tickets. And
no, not VIP to get tickets. Work.
I said, we crush for the Thunder. Let's crush for the Mavs.
Let's go.
Brett Bowden met him once in a random hotel. And the way we connected was, that's my friend that looks like Jesus. So I was going to have to figure out some connect for you and him. That's okay. But the question that I have, Justin, is think about the labor market right now. Are people, are staff more eager to work, more grateful for their jobs, more hungry to work, or is the like entitled, I can take unemployment, you know, like, is it easier to retain employees now than it was maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago?
I think my answer is a little, like as specific as unique to us. We had a year and a half ago, not a year and a half ago, like last October, we had a, we had some layoff events. And ever since we did that, like the team morale, you know, has been really tight. It's been very family. Everyone kind of feels like they're OGs. So we haven't had, we haven't fired any or haven't had any turnover or anybody leave. I guess we had a customer care team member leave and we did replace them. But besides that, it's been good. And then we've hired some seasonal help the past month and we had a lot of applications come in. So I get the sentiment that our people are ready. Our people are excited. And there's not, I don't sense much of that entitlement right now.
Why'd you have to have layoffs?
Like we did, man, just the fruits of growing for 10 years and not looking back and getting too big and having some customers that we shouldn't be servicing and having staff members, dedicated staff members and dedicated processes for one specific customer. And that service we're only offering for that customer. And so we just kind of looked up and realized we were in a profitability configuration that was not great. And so eliminating one of those customers or a couple of those customers also allowed us to eliminate a few staff positions that we didn't need to have. And so on the other side of that smaller team, we're getting almost the same amount of work done and we're doing it more responsibly and, you know, trying to just be better.
How did you figure out if that customer was profitable or not?
That's a long one. We had a hunkering. So we went through this. We have a fractional CFO that helps us. He's been a long time advisor of mine. But we went through this exercise of essentially classing all of our customers into high volume, low volume, high profitability, low or high margin, low margin. And then we're able to throw everybody up in these quadrants. Like if they
An XY. Okay. So there's four different quadrants you pick from.
Yeah. High volume, high margin against high volume, low margin, low volume, low margin, low volume, high margin. And then, you know, obviously low volume, low margin customers you don't want. High volume, low margin customers you need to look at with really like clear, like do we need, and that's where we found like, one of our primary, like it goes back to wholesale printing or contract screen printing. Like those of us that are primary, which is most everybody in our industry, we just have no business being contract screen printers. Like our businesses were never set up for that. Our businesses were never dialed for that. But you grow a screen printing business mainly on retail printing, churches, schools, businesses, nonprofits. And then you start picking up, like for us, it's like, oh, we got all this horsepower. We may as well be printing for these high volume people. You pick them up. Then you realize you're not making any money, but it's okay. The presses are spinning. It's just a, I mean, that's a learning lesson that I've heard many people before me tell me that we shouldn't be doing it. And I ignored them. And it was just a lesson that I kind of had to learn on my own.
Justin, you're kind of turning into like, you're going to be that old guy at the trade show. That's just seeing the, like, seeing the young Steve, seeing the young Steven at like, he'd be like, no son, you don't contract print. You know, that's going to turn it to you. It's like gather around.
Hey, man, well, Justin was running the press. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, oh, you did. See that at Long Beach. He had a line, everything. Look at that.
Dude, I've been running the past couple nights. I've been toying around with what a second shift feels like and pulling pressure as we're getting into the playoff runs, like running a Tuesday, Thursday crew. I've got my chill boys next door that they come with me. And so we get to run the print shop at night when no one's looking. And it's, hold on, let me tell you this. Hold on.
Is that what you do, Steven?
No, I'm awful at printing. If I'm printing at night, something is terribly wrong.
You pre-print all the transfers at night?
Check this out. That says JSPS. That's Justin's. We're referring it internally as Justin's sketchy print shop.
Dude.
I love it.
Put that in the mail.
You got it. What size
Steven's
you want?
Sketchy DTF shop. Can we get a...
No, dude, that is
fire.
So wait, this is really interesting. So Justin, on your Instagram, if you follow Justin at Instagram, Justin, you have like personally like 10,000 followers. You're pretty famous. That is a shirt.
Put it on.
Small. You don't want me to put this on.
Okay, not that one.
You've only taken your shirt off on one of two podcasts, so maybe, I don't know, we could set a new record. But you're literally, okay, you said something there. Hold on, there's some good stuff out here. I'm testing out what it would be like to run a second shift.
Yeah.
So I am printing at night with my crew next door. Why is it so important for you to be there to test this out at night? Like, you have a family, you have kids, you've got all this stuff going on. Why are you the one running late night press and testing this?
Yeah, because you know as well as I do that like there is one of, as my team has grown, we've gone through traction and EOS, and we're trying to figure out like who's the right seat and the right person and who should be doing what. And more there's, as Oklahoma Shirt Company grows up, there's less spots for me and the team. Like, it's just better for me to not be involved in the day-to-day operations because I'm an ideas guy, or I like to tinker, or I like to make. And so I work against our machines. Like, I'm trying to break our machines, or I'm trying to improve our machines. Whereas the people that are in them are running these, you know, mostly well-oiled machines. So for me, I'm a bit of the like innovator, new ideas guy. So when I am a part of a process, I tend to break it operationally in a way that other people don't. And I'm able to find out like, hey, this really works, or this is what we should do. And I can lead a group of team in it. So it's a bit of a special teams. We're going to buy a new DTF machine. I'm going to be the first DTF operator. Like, that's going to be me. I'm going to run it in the morning. I'm going to make sure that like it's proper and we're ready. And then I can hand it off to people. It's what we did with the laser machine.
Are you putting this on the record? You are buying, you're doing it. Don't put your name. We will not announce what machine it is. Can't say it.
Yeah. Dude, we got to have
Steven, a DTF. Did you just shake your head when he said that?
I've been just, I sent him a PSA of exploding ink lines.
It's one of those, I think it's inevitable. We order a lot of outsourced DTF, and I wish we could order it. But the truth is the turnarounds and the places that we order from, when something's wrong, we're just doing it at a volume that we have to have a little bit more control.
Okay. So there's something there that you said, I'm the visionary, I'm the tinker, I'm the wanderer, I'm the inventor. I break the system. I go against the grain. So like when I'm doing something new, I'm going to do it myself because it'll disrupt everyone else.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, Jeff Bezos said that on the Friedman thing. He goes like, inventing is highly inefficient and it's going to ruin up a bunch of processes, right? And so you almost have to do it on your own time and not let it touch or disturb the piece. I'm curious, Bruce, at Printavo, when were there times where you'd say like, I'm special teams right now, I'm working on this myself, I'm going to go play in my sandbox, everyone just keep doing what you're doing? Were there ever instances that happened for you?
For us, for early on, yes. All the time building out functionality. I just hack away at it. I do think there's a balance later, as in disrupting the workflow process that start to get put in place. For example, I remember I put something out, deployed it, and a senior engineer had to unfuck it for like a good 2 days. And so, you know, I was like, oh, was that worth like going around the workflow to, you know, in the processes to get something done? Cause I had the anxiety of getting it out sooner, or should it have gone through the proper prioritization and like, you know, the slow but steady process that's in place? I don't know the balance of that. Cause I do think there is a balance and people, and we all have to like teeter totter, you know, and walk the line okay, this works. Let me just go through the process and be a little bit more patient.
But was that custom fields that you were working on? Is that why like we still don't have it? Is that why you had to stop? Or what is
that? I think that was It was something to do with the invoice statuses.
Analytics?
I can't remember.
Was it analytics? It wasn't analytics. No.
Invoice statuses. Something to do with the status. It was way more basic than any of those.
Well, but here's the thing. What Justin's doing pushes the envelope, like, is pushing a rock, like, forward at Oklahoma Shirt Company. And arguably, he can discover something that really makes his business super elastic. So, like, in... I think the owner should be doing those things.
Okay. Well, let me challenge this then. You buy the DTF. I'm sure you have someone, you know, leading production. I don't know about managing or leading or how it's structured. Could you say, hey, look, I think this can make sense because we buy all these. This gives us a lot more flexibility in the transfers. We could do it all in-house. Cool. You're going to have to learn it though to figure out how this works. Let me know if you need anything. I'll send you to this class or whatever it is. And
To be clear, I think there are places in my business where I can be that person, and there are other places where I absolutely should not be that person. Like, it comes down to competent operators, I think. So when we have new processes have a hard time getting off the ground here if someone's not really owning it. And I don't have anybody that I can just delegate it to. If there was someone to delegate it to, you know, and not pull them out of our regular stream, like, we don't invest in research and development. That's either me or it's Jaron, and Jaron's covered up in, you know, other things that he needs to be doing. And so that's kind of a necessary evil.
But Justin, you've also built a business in which it allows you the ability to play and invent. Like, you said something along the lines of you have no one-on-one meetings, or like only one or two.
No, I do not host a one-on-one.
So, like, why? This is interesting.
They're the fucking worst. That's why. And I also have, like, I have a team. My team is made up. And this is borrowing from L10, like, EOS. Like, I have now a integrator and or implementer. Which one is it? Integrator. Yeah, look to the integrator. The integrator is Katie, and she supervises my team. So, At its best, I would be doing a one-to-one with Katie, but I'm not. So we have our L10 meeting that we all get on the same page and do all of our stuff, but then we disperse out. And I got a 2 p.m. meeting every day next door at Chill. That's kind of me quarterbacking with the small team over there. And then at Osco, we have a once a week L10. And other than that, I don't meet with my team because, well, it's probably unhealthy. Maybe it's not. It's working. My team doesn't need micromanagement. Like, my team is, they're just focused on refining the same processes, and they bring me in if they need me.
But Katie, so you bring everything down to Katie, your integrator. So yep. She's effectively like the COO, ish. Like, and then she meets with every team lead to make sure the rocks are moving, KPIs are met.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. I do have there is a sale. We have a new sales guy here. Me and Katie meet with him. We started meeting with him once a week on Monday morning just to line out. There's a lot of things. I wore the sales hat for a little while and no one else has worn that. So there's some things I need to indoctrinate or inoculate into Creed. But other than that, it's all KPI based and metrics. And she's there to just make sure that everyone's doing what that we've programmed out that they're supposed to be doing.
Look, I see your perspective on it, right? It is tiring, and you can end up getting in a situation where you keep putting them off. I remember I got called out for putting them off because they were like, you know, hey, you keep rescheduling this. It kind of feels a little shitty to not have these regularly. So you're like prioritizing other stuff, which I get. You're super busy. And so I did stop doing that as much. But I see the point of it is kind of wearing. Now, I don't know, on the flip side, I'm sure, like, Steven, maybe you get a lot more value and it may help more on the retention and operationally continually to direct things and doing things. Because in the L10 meetings, in the weekly numbers meetings, it's hard to go in depth in any of the departments without making the meeting super long. Do you, like, how do you structure then the one-on-one, Steven, with yours? And have you thought about maybe making them more infrequent?
So I have one, two, three, I have like five standing one-on-ones per week with leadership. And those are basically the people that are in traction with us. Now, I don't have an integrator per se. We have our CFO runs Traction, so he keeps us all organized and dialed and everything. And he's kind of our acting COO, but he's got lots of stuff going on to manage the finance of the business. And so a lot of times I'm essentially opening up the rocks of them and we're going super deep in everyone. And then we'll, if we have a big discussion point, we'll say, okay, let's bring that to the L10 and we'll bring it to the team. So like, I'm kind of jealous of you, Justin, because one-on-ones are draining. But what I'm hearing is at Oklahoma, every single person still has some sort of one-on-one person to hold them accountable. Like if it's not you, it's Katie, right? It's not like,
they're so
just
she's
like,
doing them with yeah. the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've just elevated extracted. A little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so does every person in your company have some sort of one-to-one leadership? Does everyone have a leader?
Yeah.
Does everyone have some sort of cadence to meet with them, even if it's like a drop-in, check-in?
Dude, I've built these, Steven, like I built this fucking business. And what I've told people over the years is the only motherfucker not going anywhere is me. And so this has to work for me. And if it doesn't work for me, then it doesn't. So I have to be boldly selfish in that. It's why I don't do Slack. I literally don't. I told everyone, like, you can text me or you can email me. And it's not because I'm super busy or high profile. It's just I am one person. And I found early on, like, I used to supervise 7 people and I used to do one-on-ones with all of them. And I was just like, I hate my job. I hate my life. I can't do any of it. I'm not serving anybody well. I'm not a good people developer. I'm not a good coach. You want me next to you on the field trying to score points. You don't want me GMing or running it because I don't serve anybody well in that capacity. So thankfully, like I get to build the things around me. So I don't have one-to-ones. They can't get to me in Slack. If they want to, if there's a dependency upon me, it has to go to my email or you can text me or you have to come like find me. And part of that is some of it's laziness, but also it has to work for me. And I think I perform at my best when things are working for me and I don't feel so chained to something that I'm just pissed or dreading it. I cancel meetings and I found myself canceling a lot of meetings. And so instead of canceling those meetings, I just stopped having them. And if we have to do it, we have to do it. Now I have to do hard things, but I also have an insanely like competent and proactive admin team that's helping me keep my life and things on rails. And so Tess and Madison like run an enormous amount of interference for my team and to keep the ball moving and to keep things jamming because I don't want to be in meetings. I don't want to be on presses either. Right now my best work is next door at Chill with a small team, making sure that like we're moving because we don't have the mature infrastructure over there like we do at Oklahoma Sugar Company.
Justin, do you have, okay, so like it sounds like you really free up your schedule to give you the ability to do what you want every day. You insulate yourself so that only like leadership really is interacting with you. You sort of make yourself a little unavailable.
Yeah.
Do you schedule or time box the projects that you choose to work on each day? Or is it like, you're just like, today I'm going to do this?
Man, Tess tries, like there's a big security camera project that we need to do around here. And she blocked out Friday. She's like, hey, this Friday, you don't have anything going on. I'm going to block out that I didn't touch cameras because most of the time I show up, like I'm working on the business and I want to, some days, like it's because I want to, and some days it's because I need to. And I don't do well with blocking out. I have my like priorities. You know, like I have these little like nonsensical cards on my desktop that help me keep like what the biggest fires or things that I need to get out. But no, I do not schedule out my time blocks of work I need to do.
When you made this transition, did you already have the people in place to say, all right, look, I can't do this anymore. So I need you to take this on. Or did you have to bring in people? So like, did you level them up or did you find someone else new?
What was really cool is this business has been built from the beginning with me being distracted on something else. So like early on, it was med school and like I was trying to do med school. So I had to have all of these people that were focused on working the business. And so when I had energy to dump into Oklahoma Shirt Company, I would circle back and I would say, hey, this is broken, or let's do all this. So I also set up those dependencies. I used to have meetings where it was like the leadership meeting was really just a meeting for me. And it was awful. It was inefficient. It was emotional. And so really what happened was we learned to morph that meeting into what are now our L10 looks like. Cause it used to be like, okay, what's everybody doing this week? What's broken? What's working? What's not working? Where do you need help? And let's crack all. And it was everyone updating me about all the stuff that was going on in the business, which is incredibly inefficient and a waste of time. Moving to L10, a meeting, and it's my meeting, but I'm not running it. And it's not my meeting. It's the team's meeting now. And the times that our meetings get the lowest marks are when I fall into my old rhythms and I hijack the meeting and I say, hey, but what about this? And let's talk about this. And everyone's like, okay, this is what we'll talk about. And then at the end, it's like, crap. Like, we didn't get anything done that we wanted to get done. And so I'm learning that like my tendencies or my neuroses that have helped us get here are important, but me falling in line and falling into how I fit in to the business and playing by the same rules only helps. So I didn't create much of these things. Like, I just had the bare minimum touch points to make sure that the ball was moving. And if it wasn't moving, we'd build infrastructure around it. And for me, that was touch-based meetings. You know, it's like, let's all get together, touch-based, then let's disperse and get back to doing what we're doing.
Can I read you guys this quick quote and then we can move on? I just thought this was pretty neat. And then I want to get your thoughts, though. We talked about Basecamp before. People have probably used it. The guy, Jason Fried, who started it, wrote their book Rework, which is a really cool way to think about running your business. Anyway, he posted this tweet. I'll just give a quick summary. He said, over the past few years, I've been practicing the subtle art of staying out of it. On any given day, there are dozens of discussions I could be a part of and a bunch of things I could weigh in on. But I'm choosing to stay out of it. Not because I don't care. It's because I don't really need to be there. And the owner's word weighs a ton. I'd just much rather see most things take care of themselves or have people settle their own balances rather than having me deposit my own 2 cents.
I like that.
He kind of goes more into detail about it, but Stephen, like when you know, obviously, this is sort of a goal that everyone wants to get to, but did this change any perspective when you read this? Your perspective?
There are so many things. So there's a part that says, this means getting used to being okay with decisions I wouldn't have made or designs I wouldn't have drawn or provisions I wouldn't necessarily have in place. And so it actually turns to you and say, are you okay with you not being the owner of all this and being like the conductor of the ship? And so when I read this, I immediately left like 10 Slack channels.
Apple keyed it.
And he says like, now I pick and choose. Too many words, too much to lose. If I can be useful, if I can break a tie, if I can point to the sky, then I'm here for that. Otherwise, I'll just stay out of it. And I think it really begs the question is like the owner has so much OCD. They want things a certain way. They want their opinion to be heard on everything. And really like your business really doesn't start to grow or run itself until you can remove yourself from that. And I'm struggling with that right now. I literally have tried to like make my schedule as flexible as possible where I only have a certain amount of meetings and I literally block off the rest for do not disturb. And then literally removing myself from Slack channels and almost being like, I'm just going to be oblivious to it.
Justin, I think this last sentence resonates with what you've been saying. He says, further, when I stay out of it now, and he capitalizes stay out of it, by the way. So it's like a principle. I'll often come back later to discover something went exactly as I'd hoped it would. They handled it. Not in that it may have been the outcome or the execution of the tactical way you would have done it.
Yeah.
But it was handled. It was handled and it was moved on. Like, how do you think about, is that what has been happening and you get used to that?
Yeah. I used to have, there used to be a status called front of house check. In the shop management software that we use, you can create your own statuses. Like you can customize it. You can write whatever you want. You can set notifications, dependencies. Don't know if you guys have heard of it. But there was a status that was called front of house check. And what that meant was every single time that an invoice went past and it was basically the quote was approved, the blanks have been ordered, art's finalized, like it's the pre-production step. It'd go to front of house check. And every one of those invoices, I would look at them and I would get an email notification and it would cue me. I would go look at it. I would make sure it's all good. I would see how much money's coming in. I would see the customer. Like it had all these feel goods for the business owner. I stole it from an idea of an executive director that I used to work for at a church. He made it known to everybody that every invoice or every receipt or everything that goes through the organization came across his desk. And I thought that was a really cool way of keeping a pulse on the business. And then it became like problematic when it was a dependency. And I found myself like, as we got busier and invoices would stack up, I would have 25 invoices to go front of house check. And I would just sit down and I would just click through them. I wasn't QCing. I wasn't doing it well, but yet I was holding up the processes. And so that was kind of letting go of the vine. Like I had to just, that was one of those things for me. It was like, what am I doing? I'm sometimes catching mistakes. I'm not improving it a whole lot. Like it's just for me. And so I let it go. And I said, we don't need to do front of house check anymore. It was wildly uncomfortable for a couple of weeks, but then it was like, this is kind of tight. I don't have to worry about this anymore.
And it was wildly uncomfortable. That's so true. The anxiety of watching and not doing.
But you have to give credit to the control you installed in the business that got you there.
Yeah.
Right.
For real. For real. You asked me to mute the thing. You know, I built my whole business on notifications and emails and like knowing that like everything would stop. And as long as I like moved in a linear motion, I would eventually catch everything. And at some point that's unscalable. If you're a certain size, it probably works. But, there are some of those things that I wish it would be cool if like our operations manager at some point in time went back to front of house check and they're just checking every single invoice that goes through quietly and elevating something if they see it. But I think at some point volume, you know, supersedes necessity. And if the systems are working and it's all doing, then maybe you don't need front of house check. Maybe.
I got something for you guys. I get whenever I'm starting to ask a lot of shops, like how many days a week do you spend in the shop? And I'll be like, do you ever go in late or come in, you know, leave in the middle of the day? And oftentimes they're like, oh no, I can't do that. There's no way. We'd be screwed. Was there ever a point in time where you had to be in there every single day or you'd be screwed? Was there a light bulb of one day where you're like, where in the world is Justin Lawrence? No one ever knows, right? You're going to be somewhere.
Yeah.
But was there ever a point in the business where you're like, I am not going to be here anymore. I'm just going to get up and leave. Or like, did something change for you? Because I feel like shop owners feel like they have to be there every single day.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel the same way? I don't know.
I think the shop means, I think it depends on the person and what your giftedness is or what's important to you. So from the beginning, production mattered to me, but I'm not the best screen printer. I'm not a technical screen printer. I know my way around a dark room and I know my way around a print shop and I can go to a print shop and probably make whatever happen. I can run a print shop, but I'm not a technical screen printer. I was a designer first and a sales guy. So like those are the things. And so
doctor first.
Yeah. Right.
Doctor.
So with being a designer and a salesperson and kind of like you, Steven, like you're not a technical printer. You jump into your digital printing needs as that arises, but like you're not there midwifing it. I think about like Eric Solomon, or I think about Scott from King Screen. Like those guys live in their shops. And those are also the shops that are the most efficient, the most technically proficient. You know, they're not outsourcing the production things. They're in there like a chef making it really special. And so the value that I added to my team has always kind of been remote. I can do most of my work from my phone or a computer. And that is, I think that has allowed me to be a little more agile and mobile. And again, like I said, for me, I've always had one foot out the door. It's either been pre-med plus t-shirts or it was med school plus t-shirts, or it's cannabis world plus t-shirts, or it's family plus t-shirts. I haven't, this place has dependencies on me, but it's not like operational day-to-day dependencies upon me, because I just, I scaled out of that real fast. Like I realized, like, I don't want those true dependencies on me where I can't leave or I'm chained to this place.
I'm going to pivot a little bit onto, there's this good episode that Steve and I were talking about that I'd love to get your opinion on, Justin. So, you listened to My First Million probably. They had a little soliloquy on an unscheduled life. And, they were talking about, first of all, what is an unscheduled life and why is it so desirable? And then how to get there. An unscheduled life, first of all, just as a quick definition, the definition of an unscheduled life is today, your goal is to do the most important thing for you right now. Number one, most important thing, no, not the five most important things, the huge long task list of 10. Number one, not though what you thought it was 2 weeks ago, which may be very different priorities wise and what you may have even thought was important then, but didn't get it done. So clearly it wasn't. And then they're broken down into two pieces. Number one, getting that most important thing done, and then considering that a win for the day. So starting the day doing that thing, as generally speaking, it's very easy and I used to feel like I still do it. I've got, you know, five things. I need to book this flight. I need to do this. I'm going to move this around. Let me just get some momentum. I'm just going to keep checking these things off and then I'll get to the big thing. Well, you know, turns out we don't actually get to the big thing. It just gets pushed off the next day. And then the second part is, what are your actual priorities? And it turns out, and I believe in this of what they said, is that if you show me your calendar, I'll show you your priorities. As in, what do you care about? What does the business care about? What are you spending time on? Whether it's hiring this new role, it's training this person, it's getting more sales, it's, you know, getting yourself out of the business, like you said, even blocking time to not be booked. Show me your calendar and I'll show you your priorities. That's sort of the two pieces as part of that unscheduled life. Steven, I know you listened to that episode. Did it change any of your perspective?
Yeah. So that tweet and Sean's podcast, I definitely thought, like, I need days where I have nothing on my calendar. I'm not taking any meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like I will have, these are the only times that you can meet with me. Monday mornings are one-on-ones and I'm just going to block them off. Cause I think when someone wants to work on something or there's something I'm passionate about, I want to work on it right now. Like I want time to be able to work on what I want to work on right now. And I think when I put it on the calendar for 2 weeks from now, it just becomes less of a priority. And so if I want to go do something right now or work on a project right now, I want space to play and do that. And so
when did you start blocking off the Tuesdays and Thursdays?
This is literally like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I redid my whole calendar. And,
oh, cool. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, so how did you move the other days?
We've been texting about this.
How did you move the other days together? Like, did you clump other things together? Did you space them out or what does your calendar look like?
I was just like, if I have one-on-one meetings, I'm going to do them all Monday morning from Justin. Cause you were saying I don't take any meetings on Monday. And I was like, ah, shit, I need meetings on Mondays. And so I was like, instead I'm going to do 9 to 12 to knock out all my one-on-ones for the week. And I'll do a one-on-one on Wednesday or my L10 on Wednesday. And then I just basically blocked it off and called it focus time for Monday afternoon, Tuesday during the day, Thursday all day, and I don't take meetings on Fridays. And if you want to meet with me, it's got to be within those time blocks. Yep. The rest is my time. And if I want to go, if you're in town, I want to play tennis with Bruce. I played golf with Bruce's brother yesterday. I want to do that. Fine. Like, it's your time.
It has been pretty easy life hack for us on Mondays. I have help with my calendar. And so most of the time I push things and Tess is able to run interference on that, but just knowing that, like, hey, don't schedule anything on Mondays. Did something really cool for Tess and Madison. It did something really cool for me and my brain. It did something cool for my wife and her brain. I just know, man, when I go to work, I can kind of go to bed Sunday night, a little loose and wake up and stumble into work on Monday in the best kind of way. Like, I don't have to be prepared, or I'm not stressed about like what's waiting for me other than whatever I want to get ready for the week. Or if I want to show up at noon on Monday, I'm not, you know, leaving anybody. Hmm. It's a nice.
What does Tess do for your calendar? You said she manages it. Is that like, hey, can you reach out to this person? I need to have a meeting with them. Or is it,
yeah,
hey, what is this on here? Do you actually need to do this? Or
not a lot of curating in as far as like, do you really need to be doing this? But there is the like, she'll run next door and grab me. Hey, you got a call in 30 minutes. Are you ready for this? Like, there's the support in that, making sure that I'm on my track. And then also when people want to meet with me, I have my inboxes monitored. And so, you know, if there's, I want them to have my voice so that they can respond as me, so that they can book meetings or say yes to things for me. And if they're not sure, then they just text me. And that, cause I want to, my inbox, I used to live in real time. When I was living in real time, I was chained to my desk. I was looking at my inbox all day and I was just click clacking. And that's when I was slacking. That's when I was emailing. That's when all my admin was at the best. And I realized like, I'm just chained to my desk or chained to my phone. And so getting me at, you know, text messages is the closest thing. I don't talk on the phone very often just because that's probably the elder millennial in me. And I don't want to talk to people on the phone. I want to text and I want to email. And that's just, I just funnel people to those channels. And so when Tess is running interception on my inbox, they're trying to keep the ball moving, and she'll schedule meetings for people if it's important for us to get together. But it's, I will say, like, the more, I used to have a lot of meetings and I don't have very many meetings anymore, which is great. And you have to have drawers or channels or conduits. You know, I try to, like, I'm a terrible t-shirt salesperson. So when people in the community or my friends are like, hey, I need t-shirts, I'm like, great, what do you need? I try to get it out of my hands into Tess or Madison or our customer care team. And I try to not have those.
That's smart. The amount of times where I'm like, yeah, I'll run the first call. Like, let me, I'm pumped. This is great. This is the shop I want to work with. And then it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot more involved than just the first 15, 20 minute call. It's follow up with all the notes and everything else.
The passing. Yeah, I legitimately, I'll tell you, between us and God and all 200,000 listeners and my mom, I don't know how to schedule a job inside of Printavo at Oklahoma Shirt Company. Like, I legitimately
power scheduler.
Don't know how to do it.
Me neither. Bruce, do you know how?
Don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
I don't know how to do it. So when they're, which is cool, because then there's so many rules and things that we have set up that supersede me that I don't have to be an expert in that. And I can say, hey, help me get this job on the schedule. And it's,
do you think at times on the flip side, you're too removed?
There are times when I'm unhealthy, you know, when I'm checked out, but I know as long as I'm not checked out, then it's perfect. But when I'm checked out, I don't know what it's like to be checked out yet though. I hope. So 2024, we've been going through our financials. This will be a recovery year for us, which will be good. And then 2025, I'm told that we're going to be rich again, which is cool. So when that happens, when I have a couple of years of like, cause my dream is another degree removed. Like right now, what dependencies are on me? You know, I have to make sure there's enough cash in the bank, and I have to make sure the payroll is going to make it. And I have to make sure that our credit cards that we're running this business on are clearing, and like, there's not an eruption of that and people can keep doing what they're doing. If those things are covered, then I only need to be here when there's a fight to break up, which is rare. And that's my dream. My 10-year wedding anniversary with my wife, I really fucked up in Paris and London because we were...
You booked two one-way flights?
Well, no. We went to Paris to London for a week, but my business kind of... this was 5 or 6 years ago. My business kind of imploded while we were out of town, and I was just... So I owe her that trip. And so one of the goals for me is I want to go on a trip one day and not take my phone and not take a computer and just be completely detached. I can't do that until I let go of a few other dependencies that I'm a part of. But once I do that, that's true. That's when I have to probably worry about checking out, you know? And
can I, Can I show you guys something?
Please.
I got this box.
Oh my gosh, you got it.
It's called Mindsight.
Okay. You got to be on YouTube to see this, by the way. It's a white kind of cylindrical box. Looks like a football. He opened the top.
It's got three, so you can put electronic devices in here and set a timer. It's got three different settings. It's just got lockbox only, no timer. Standard mode, where you can set a timer, and then there's a special code if you need to unlock it. And then it's got fortress mode. Once it's set, it can't be unlocked. You have to request an email to support@mindsightnow.com. attempting to force open the lid may result in a lock malfunction.
Hoping they're still in business.
My problem is at night, I just I'll scroll before bed, and then I'll it kind of wires me. And so I'm like, before bed, I just need to put it in there so that I can either read, watch TV, hang out, whatever. And so I'm trying this out. We'll see how it goes.
Dude, that's awesome. Put it at the office too.
My buddies have them for cannabis. Like you put your weed in it too, so you can't access it until the weekend or until you're ready.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a drug problem. I mean, I just have a cell phone. Cell phone is my drug. But yeah, I don't know, Bruce, we went out to dinner and we're like, hey, can we all leave our phones at home? And Bruce was tweaking because of the Ring doorbell. He's like, well, what if we get it? Right? Remember?
Well, I think the thing was, Simon Sinek had this post recently that, we sit at dinner, the phone's sitting on the table. You're in an elevator and you just fiddle with it, even though it's in your pocket and you know it, but you sort of make sure it's there all the time. You just pull it out. You're not really doing anything. Your brain starts to wander. You touch your phone or you start looking at the notifications, and that's the definition of an addiction. It's the same thing as an addiction to anything else. And so it requires some sort of treatment plan. And forcing it, it's crazy. At dinner, when I gave the phone to my wife and everything, there, I swear every 5 minutes we're talking about something and I was like, yeah, let me show you. And I was like, oh, like I'm sort of, or I was just, feeling my leg. It was weird that it wasn't there, but it was such a strange, but a strange experience. And I definitely want to do it more. I don't know if I'm ready for the prison box yet, but
chip you one.
Hey, y'all ever get those phantom vibrations? When you have your phone
on my wrist
vibrating in your pocket. Yeah. And you're like, I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad.
It's weird. Justin, do you ever get unplugged and when you guys do you guys all put your phone in a box or something? Try to do that.
No, we need to.
Dinners. We start at dinners.
Yeah, especially at home. I wish I was better about coming home and just throwing it on the kitchen counter. And
oh, that was the other thing he said. He's like, "Do you bring your phone around every room that you go to, or bring it into the bathroom every time you go?" And he's like, "That's also that's sad." And I was like, "Oh." I was like,
thanks, Bruce.
I think you're right. That is sad. He said this in the videos.
There's no precedent and there's nothing we have in our lives to compare this to. Or history. You're not wrong. There's probably an addiction piece to
cigarettes.
It. But the one is a connectivity, And at some point, 50 years from now, I hope that before I die, I have the opportunity to have some sort of biomech or biotech implanted inside of me so that if it's glasses or if it's the chip or if it's the boop boop or if it's the whatever, sign me up. But then if you have that, what happens when your eyeball is a device, that's Google that is able to, I don't know, man, you can't disconnect. And should we disconnect? Maybe our culture is going, should there be days where you shouldn't have electricity or that we shouldn't have Wi-Fi or we shouldn't have, there are probably connectivity, high speed internet. Obama made a basic human right.
We're going to turn this into Joe Rogan.
You know what I'm saying, though? Look,
where is this going?
I
thought you were talking about the Sabbath. I was like,
I'll say, and then we could wrap, is My most productive blocks of time is when my phone is in a different room or I forgot it somewhere else and I don't realize it till later. That's a correlation.
We didn't talk about any of Sleepy's badass printing that's going on right now. The dance, the thunder. We have so much basketball to talk about, guys.
Ooh. Yo, we need the Thunder to do well, and we'll celebrate on the other side. March Madness is over. I'm sick of basketball. I'm watching NBA now.
Let's go.
So, anyways.
All right, Prentisers. Thanks so much for going on. Hopefully that journey was interesting. Love the update. So, and of course, we always love having you on, Justin. Thank you for being able to make time.
You're turning into a quarterly guest. Justin's episodes, they get the best viewership.
It's because my mom is the most honest. It's my mom's friends, I promise.
It's your mom's friends.
No. Your Facebook group.
All right, always a good time.
We'll see you guys on the next episode. We appreciate you for listening. Justin, we appreciate you for joining.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.